17, if you would please, in your Bibles, 1 Kings chapter number 17. Appreciate all your love and concern and prayers and all that stuff, and I'm not just trying to say it over again. It really has been a blessing. Mrs. Ferguson came this morning and she makes these peanut butter fudge. Is that what it is? Peanut butter fudge? And she had a tray of it. She thought it was a fourth Sunday, so we're going to be having lunch. And we're not doing that till all this stuff blows over, you know. And she come carrying that tray up. She said, "Pastor, I'm going to send this home with you for Anna. I thought it was church, was lunch, dinner on the grounds, and it's not. So you take this home to Anna." And I didn't know it, but that's one of Anna's favorites, is Miss Ferguson's peanut butter fudge. So I walked in the door. She's not here tonight. I wish she was. I walked in the door, and she said, "Oh!" She sat back and mowed into one, and she said, "That hit the spot." So what a blessing, man. All right. Yeah, they are good, huh? I don't know about it. I guess I need to break down and try one. 1 Kings chapter 17, verse number 1. "And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, 'As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, according to my word.' And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, 'Get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there.' So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, which is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, 'Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee.' So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks, and he called to her and said, 'Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink.' And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, 'Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand.' And she said, 'As the Lord liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I'm gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and for my son, that we may eat it and die.' Elijah said unto her, 'Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth.' And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord which he spake by Elijah. It came to pass after these things that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick. And his sickness was so sore that there was no breath left in him. And she said unto Elijah, 'What have I to do with thee, O thou man of God? Art thou come unto me to call my sin to remembrance and to slay my son?' And he said unto her, 'Give me thy son.' And he took him out of her bosom and laid him up into a loft where he abode, and laid upon him on his own bed. And he cried unto the Lord and said, 'O Lord my God, hast thou also brought evil upon the widow with whom I sojourned by slaying her son?' And he stretched himself upon the child three times and cried unto the Lord and said, 'O Lord my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come into him again.' And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came into him again, and he revived. And Elijah took the child and brought him out of the chamber into the house and delivered him unto his mother. And Elijah said, 'See, thy son liveth.' And the woman said to Elijah, 'Now by this I know that thou art a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in thy mouth is truth.'" Let's pray. Father, I love you tonight. I thank you for this passage of Scripture, and I ask you, Lord, to enable me to preach it. Lord, there's so much here. I don't want to miss anything, but I also don't want to overstay my welcome this evening in the pulpit. So, Lord, I pray that you'd help me to be able to hit what needs to be hit, to minister this passage to the hearts of these people. And I ask you to bless the message, that Jesus Christ may be glorified and the people under the sound of my voice may be helped. I pray you'd give them ears to hear and a heart to receive the word of God. Help us to set aside for just a few minutes our cares and concerns and the things that are on our minds and on our hearts. And help us to focus now on you and what it is you'd have to say to us tonight. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now you know the storyline here. In 1 Kings 17, we have a situation in Israel that spiritually, economically, and morally lines up very much with the United States of America in 2020. You remember all the way back when there were judges that reigned over Israel, and what had happened is under the leadership of those judges, not reigned, it's the wrong word, but ruled. And under the ruling and leadership of those judges, Israel had become more and more apostate. They'd walked away from the Word of God more and more. And the time came when every man was doing that which was right in his own eyes and all that stuff, you know all about that, that they started crying out for a king. They wanted a king over them. God never intended for Israel to have a human king. God had intended for Israel to be under God Almighty. The only government in the Bible that God really condones is a theocracy. That's a kingdom where God Almighty reigns. When God set up Israel, he gave them his word, and he gave them priests to lead them in his word, and God was to be the government, and the Bible was to be the constitution. And if you're saved today, that still ought to be where your heart's at. Because God gives them kings because they asked for a king. God told them, I'm warning you, you do this thing, you're going to pay for it. But instead of following God and doing things God's way, they're a lot like a lot of the born-again, Bible-believing Christians I know nowadays. They're so obsessed with this life and this world that they're like, no, if you fix our economy, if you fix our government, if you give us a king to protect us and to take us out to battle and to make sure the economy's good and to do everything we want them to do, then we'll be happy. Then we'll serve you. So God says, fine, have it your way. And as long as that king followed God, everything was okay, like David. But man, when you got a king in there that wouldn't follow God, you had division, you had war, you had pestilence, you had problem after problem after problem after problem. And that ran us all the way through Kings up to chapter 16, where this wicked Ahab lines up in the throne. And he's ruling over this land, a man who loved pleasure more than he loved God. One thing you know about the nation at this time, the Bible says, the wicked walk on every side when the vilest men are exalted. Ahab was the vilest king that nation had seen to date. So what that tells you is that the wicked walked on every side in that nation. Give me a second. Now we're going to make it real. You mean the Republican and the Democrat side? 100%. Can I just say something carefully? I have a hard time being kind and compassionate towards Bible-believing Christians who've been in church for 10, 15, 20, and 30, and 40 years who think that voting in this particular president because he's conservative, because he stands for religious liberty, regardless of his background, regardless of his testimony, regardless of all that may be back there, because he lines up with my agenda, therefore, this is the blessing of God. Many were acting like Jesus Christ just came back and set up the millennial kingdom when the president that they wanted to get in office got in office and Hillary didn't get in office. You need to get your brain checked and open up the Bible and find out whether or not you're really basing what you believe and how you feel on that book. The Bible says the wicked walk on every side when the vilest men are exalted. Now, I'm not naming names, because the Bible says we're not supposed to speak evil of them who are in authority, but we're supposed to pray for them. Okay? Got to keep the thing right. But I'm just asking you to think with me. I sure hope in the election we get a good president that'll keep our military strong and our economy strong and blah, 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 keep us with our religious liberties, blah, blah, blah. But let me ask you a question. If he does not get voted back in November, where are you at? Where are you at? Are you going to panic and be all depressed and all worked up? Oh no, we're going to lose our guns. We're going to lose our liberty. Hey, don't you realize? Hey, don't you realize your brothers and sisters in Christ that are in China right now have never had the liberties you and I have? Don't we realize what others have gone through and continue to go through around this globe for the name of Jesus Christ? And these American Christians wear me out with their faith in some kind of a political leader. You know what you have in America right now? The quote conservatives stand for all the filthy abominations that most of the liberals 50 years ago didn't even stand for. Vile men have been exalted in this country for way too long, and the wicked walk on every side of the aisle. Some of these guys, I mean, I know Bible-believing preachers. I'm not trying to be mean, but sometimes I got to step back and go, that's just a red flag to me, brother. When a Bible-believing preacher starts getting all excited and thinking we're having some kind of a revival, when the president stands in front of a church that is known to stand for homosexuality and everything else and holds up a corrupt version of the Bible for a photo op. And Bible-believing Christians think that this is, oh, what a blessing, it's revival. Come on, man, it's politics. Ahab was good at the politics, boy. He was up in that throne room and he was just living like hell and he's reigning. And he, not only is he a wicked man himself, but he hooks up with a wicked woman. That Jezebel. Why? Because he liked his women as dirty as he was. He was a filthy pig, and he wanted a filthy pig, and he hooked up with what he wanted. A wicked walk on every side when the vilest men are exalted. So what you'll see in a nation and what you see in Israel is that when men reject God, men reject the Bible, live in sin, live like a fool, it'll go from a decent nation and a strong nation into apostasy, right? They reject God and they apostatize. From apostasy, if you watch your Bible, from apostasy, what will always happen in that nation is anarchy. And you know what you're seeing happen in this nation right now, and not just this nation, but around the globe? Anarchy. Man, I was thinking about that this morning. And what blows my mind, I don't understand. Somebody needs to help me because there's some things I just don't understand. Maybe I just am full-time and have too much time to think. That's your fault. But I don't understand why, stay with me, a bunch of snotty-nosed kids, primarily, have a way of seizing up an entire nation by camping out somewhere for weeks on end. Now, wait a minute. Think with me. If they have so much pull and say-so in what the nation does, why don't they have any responsibilities? I don't know about you, but I can't go camp out somewhere for weeks on end. Because I have a family. I have a roof to put over their head. I have people relying on me. I have responsibilities and duties that I have to see to. And if I don't see to those things, guess what? Everything that I have, the food I put in my children's mouth, the roof over my family's head, hey, that all's going to go away if I go somewhere for 6, 8, 3 months, whatever, weeks and months, and just stay there. It all goes away. So how are these people so influential in our nation? Who are they? I don't know about you, but I kind of like taking a shower. That doesn't seem to be too much of a priority to our friends who are hijacking our nation. Now, I'm not trying to preach politics tonight. What I'm trying to show you is when a nation rejects God, apostasy is what that is, and out of apostasy comes anarchy and insanity. And that's exactly the situation we're in when we come into 1 Kings chapter 17. Now, I hope this is going to encourage you because even though things had gotten that bad, where we are or are going to be in the next 5 to 10 years. Even though things had gotten that bad, God still had a man that God wanted to do something with. His name was Elijah the Tishbite in verse number 1. And he's of the inhabitants of Gilead. And so what happens here is that he's there and God sends him unto Ahab. And he says this, go tell Ahab something. As the Lord of God liveth, Lord God of Israel liveth before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years according to my word. So then God says, all right, Elijah, I got a message for you. Now here's what I want to preach to you about. Little things matter. The news media has got your eyes all off of the little things onto the big things all the time. Can I tell you something? There is absolutely nothing that any of us can do about the virus, whether real or imagined. I got to say that because everybody has an opinion about it. Whether it's real or imagined, it is here. If you don't think it's here, find out when you get the citation and have to pay $500. You can say, I'm not paying this right now, but you're paying it. Big stuff. There's really nothing we can do about the riots on the West Coast. I mean, like, it's really impacting us all that much. But there's not much that we can do about it. You know, there's not much you can actually do about the course of this nation today. What are you actually going to do to change the course of America? Have you not seen history? Have you not seen what happens? It's coming here. Listen, this country's a great country. I'm thankful for my nation. But I'm here to tell you, America is not so big and bad that it can't fall. Israel was more powerful than America has ever been. Solomon himself was the richest man to ever exist on the planet. When you do the math in comparison to modern day dollars, Solomon was more than 10 times richer than the richest man on the planet today. And a nation that powerful came down. You think this country won't? That's a big deal. But you want to know something? There's not much I can do about the big deals. I'm a little guy. I'm a little deal. But there's a bunch of little things that I find in the scriptures that comfort my heart. Because I can do something about the little things. As a preacher, you know what I can do? I can find out what God wants me to say and go say it. Amen. And that's exactly what Elijah's doing. He comes in here and he goes over into Ahab and he says, as the Lord of God liveth, before whom I stand. I can do something about that. I can stand before the Lord. Can't you? I can spend some time fellowshipping with the Lord. I can walk around my yard in the morning. I throw this stuff in here, not to be a weirdo, to give you some kind of maybe hints, maybe a little bit of an idea. I believe in secluded time of prayer alone on my knees with my face buried in the carpet or my face buried in a chair. You understand that? But that's not the extent of my standing before the Lord. I can walk around my yard in the morning with a cup of coffee and the dew on the grass, letting the dogs go potty, looking at my animals, and talking to my Creator. That's a little thing, ain't it? You can do it. All of a sudden now, with my cup of coffee in my hand and the sun breaking through those trees right there and the kind of dew glistening on the grass and the puppies running around playing, sipping on my coffee, all of a sudden I ain't all that worried about checking my Fox News app. I got some peace in the middle of the mess. And boy, in 1 Kings 17, we're in a mess. And God has a man. And God says, hey, boy, I want you to go tell him something. All right, I'll tell him. Hey, according to the Lord God of Israel, before whom I stand, there ain't going to be dew or rain. This thing's a mess. It's falling apart. And God wanted me to tell you something. Then God tells him to do this. So not only can I take the word of God and do what God says, but I can go where God tells me to go. And the word of the Lord, verse number 2, came unto him, saying, get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, which is before Jordan. So God says, listen, Elijah, go in there, and you tell that wicked king what I want you to tell him, and then when you're done telling him, take off and go hide yourself. Got me, boy? All right, Lord. You know what you got to do when things are bad? Exactly what God tells you to do, nothing more and nothing less. That's it. I know some preachers pretty worked up because they can't get in the nursing homes, can't get in the jail. What about all the outreaches? Why don't you relax, brother? Don't you know God knows what's going on? Amen. I understand. I'm not talking down to them by any stretch of the imagination. I understand the feeling. I have to have these talks with myself. You know what I'm going to do right now while things are going crazy? I'm going to give you the messages God gives me, and I'm going to go hide myself. And then when God says get back, I'm going to go back. I'm going to give you the message God gives me. I'm going to go hide myself. And I'm going to come back, and I'm going to give you the messages God gives me, and I'm going to go hide myself. I'm not going to make anything happen. I'm just going to follow God, do what he says when he says it, and let God work it all out. That's what Elijah's doing. Because God Almighty, I want to just say something here. God Almighty's not shocked about what's going on in America. You and I are a little shook up. You and I aren't quite sure how everything's going to play out in the long run. You and I might be a little nervous about November, but Almighty God, he's not too worried about November. If Biden gets voted in, God is not going to have a stroke. So the believers I know are gonna, but not God. So since God's all right, if he's my God and he's talking to me and I'm listening to him and I'm hearing his message and I'm obeying his voice, then hey, I'm going to be all right too, because over there by the book Sharath, God's got a little something carved out for me, and he's going to see me through it no matter if the rest of everybody else is dying of dehydration. I'm going to get a little something from God Almighty if I do what he says. And you will too if you do what he says. I looked up that word, Sharath, and I got so sick to my stomach reading what all the smart people say that I almost vomited. It means very small. It means a cutout or a separation. What this was a little tiny brook over there that there's a little trickle of water that had kept running and cut him out a little something, so he had a tiny little brook from which he could get a little refreshment every day. It was nothing big. It was nothing fancy. It kind of reminds me a little bit of Bible Believers Church of South Lyon. It wasn't 5 miles wide and an inch deep. It was just kind of what we've got, the little cutout that God's given us, the little spot God sent us to where a couple of times a week, a bunch of just sinners, I mean, nobody here, you're special to me, you're special to Jesus. Don't take this wrong, but nobody here is like we're really all that special and holy. It's not like we're highly needed and demanded among the who's who of the religious crowd. But we got our little spot, man. We got a place that we get to go to. And I'm just glad that God's given a message and God gives us a little cutout, a little bit of fresh water running through this place every once in a while to refresh us in the middle of a drought. Hey, the little things are what matter, and you need to do your best to get in church and stay in church, because this is your little cutout that God sent you to. Nobody else might even know about it. But you know, and you come. So you can get by that brook in the middle of the drought, and you can get you a little sip to get you through till Wednesday. The little things matter. Not only did God have this little cutout for him, and boy, I'm telling you, all them Jewish scholars just started going crazy on this one. They started saying that this was a place where the loathsome Gentiles and the weirdos would gather. And this is also an example of how the Apostle Paul went up into the hills of into Arabia, and he got where the weirdos were and all the outcasts were. And he sat and heard all the different things that the different men had to say. And he realized that what the Jews had back in Jerusalem was right. And so he left the mountains of Arabia, where he actually met with God and got the revelation of who Jesus Christ was and the church and the doctrine that you and I believe today. But the scholars want to cast all that away, because to them, the little things, oh, you go to that little church over there, the little things to them don't really matter. It's all about the who's who. It's all about the high muckety mucks. It's all about, what are we going to do about this drought? We need to have a council. You need to bring in the head of this and the head of that. And we all need to sit down at the conference table and figure out what we're going to do about this. Hey, they've been trying to solve our problems for years, but I saw a headline I didn't even bother to click on, how Putin is swearing that he's going to get some kind of ultrasonic or underwater nuclear. It's just, hey, we're going to solve all the problems. You ain't solving nothing. You need the Lord God of Elijah if you're going to get anything solved, but you and I can't do it. We can just gather at our little brook and get a little sip and go on our way while the world's losing their minds and get a little refreshment from God. And that's what God's man was doing in the middle of a mess. He was doing the little things right. God tells him in verse 4, "And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I've commanded the ravens to feed thee there." Now, they're a decent-sized bird, but they're not any kind of thing that would ever catch much of your attention. You and I most of the time would overlook a raven. Ravens in the Bible are actually a type of the unclean. They're a type of the lost. Do you know every once in a while God will send a raven by your way if you ain't too proud to accept the gift of a raven? My neighbor across the street's from England, and they're not saved. And he knew my daughter was having surgery, and so he came across the street and he brought her some English chocolate. And you know what? That was really nice of him. My daughter's, oh, that was so sweet. It's a raven. Because sometimes God even uses ravens to encourage his people a little bit. You know how this church wound up getting a storefront? A lost real estate agent who fought really hard for me, and for whatever reason, she liked me. And she liked my wife. She's old enough and then some to be my mom. But she liked me and she liked my wife. And she loved my girls. And for whatever reason, she said, "I'm going to help you out." And she got us in there. We weren't even paying the guy enough to pay his taxes. What was that? It was a raven. Because God will use whoever and whatever he wants to take care of you if you're doing what he says and you're loving him and you're trying to obey him and you're listening to his word and you're going wherever he tells you to go. God will do whatever God's got to do to take care of his man. God sends him a brave raven in the morning and a raven at evening. He wasn't an American. Can you imagine that? God, I mean, come on, don't you know? I mean, this is America. Like, we got to have the right president and everything else, Lord. And we got to have lunch and snacks in between. What's this twice a day stuff? Just a hint from the Bible might actually be good for your health. Just saying, God took care of his guy, and he gave him a little bread and a little meat, and then a little bread and a little meat, and that was all he needed. And plenty of water. So here he is, and guess what happens? Everything goes from bad to worse for Elijah. Because all of a sudden, verse 7, after a while, the brook dried up. God, what are you doing to me? There had been no rain in the land. What did you think was going to happen to the brook? There's no rain in the land. What did you think was going to take place? Eventually, since there's no rain anywhere, even though you're getting the last runoffs, they're all dehydrating before you. But eventually, guess what? It's going to hit you too. Well, I'm a Christian. I shouldn't have to suffer. Hey, Buttercup, deal with it. Things are going really bad for everybody. Why is it that Christians get it so much like it's all about us all the time? Just saying. So now all of a sudden things go from bad to worse for Elijah because now his brook dries up. God, you sent me here. Yes, I did. I thought the water was always going to run. That ain't life, son. Now what? I got it figured out. Because I'm God. And I know where I sent you and you obeyed me, so since you obeyed me, why don't you stop panicking and listen up? Because I'm going to help you get through it, and we're going to take you to the next step, because it ain't just all about you, preacher man, and it ain't just all about the king, preacher man. I got me a little old widow woman over there that everybody overlooks, who can't do anything big, she can't do anything special, she can't go give a message to the king, she can't hear from me like you do, she's just a little old widow woman trying to get through her life one day at a time, and I'm going to take care of her, and I'm going to take care of you. Now it just got personal, didn't it? Because I think some of you relate a little bit more to the widow woman than you do Elijah. Us preachers, we relate to Elijah. We understand maybe a little bit of the pressure that would be on him, or a little bit of the mindset that comes with being a bit of a bulldog. I mean, like, if you're in Elijah's shoes in Elijah's day, or frankly, if you're going to be a Bible-believing preacher in this day, you have to be a little bit of a pit bull off leash. Because this world hates the message from God. And nowadays, the Christians are so wicked that they hate the Bible. They'll say they believe the Bible, but what they mean is, preacher, preach to us on standards, preach to us against the LGBT, preach to us on the King James Bible, preach on everything else, preach about not going to the beach, preach about music, preach about alcohol, preach about drugs, but don't you come after me. Don't talk about my critical spirit. And how everywhere I go, I'm criticizing everybody else. Don't talk about my self-righteous spirit. I know some churches who have sent people my way because they don't fit their spirituality in their church. One particular woman told her husband, she said, let's just go to Bible believers. Well, we'll fit in with the other sinners. I said, glory to God, amen. She wanted to grow. She wanted to get some help. She wanted to understand Bible and why. And she's growing. And she's getting some help. And she takes the preaching. And she says, man, God help me get right. Hey, I'll take them every day of the week. Too much work for you. Don't fit into your mold. Going to damage your reputation. All the stupid little Facebook pictures and videos you want to put out for the world. We don't want somebody like them blotting the landscape of our spiritual church. Well, send them my way. Because I'm a little bit more of a pit bull off leash. I don't care what they're saying. I want God to use me to give somebody a drink. And you know what God does in return? You know what God does in return? Standing right here yesterday. Marrying those two. Man, you know what? You say what you want. They got saved here a year ago. They're babes in Christ. They're trying to go the right direction. They're making progress. Well, they ain't perfect. Well, neither are you. But they're growing. I'm talking to him, giving him my little address there, and my daughter, and we get in the car later, she says, yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir. I'm like, what? You never talk to me like this. She's not here. It's not Lily. Everybody's looking at Lily. I said, what? She said, did you hear him while you were talking? I said, yeah. She said, he has respect for you. Man, I'm trying not to cry driving down the road. And I'm like, yeah, honey, I guess he does, doesn't he? You know what that was? That was a little widow woman giving me a little meal to get me strong enough to keep me going. You know what you've done with sending all the medical supplies to my house, and half of you, we don't even know who you are. We're tearing through everything trying to find names so we can at least know who we're getting tears in our eyes over. You know what you're doing? Your love and your prayers for my kid and just nice things that you've been saying. You know what you've been doing? All those responses on Flock Note that we were sending out the messages, but we're trying to get everywhere we could to pray. We just, all bets were off. We're worried, you know. Sorry, we're not as tough as some people. I get it. This is our first little trip down this road. We'll get stronger as we get more of them done, but first one's a little scary, right? Can't reply to everything on Flock Note. Just too distracted.
But hey, did you see? Yeah, I did. Did you see? Hey, did you see? Yeah, did you? You know what was happening? He was handing a little bit of meal and a little bit of oil. We read it just a few minutes ago to the preacher just to give a little bit more strength to just keep going. You see how God does that? Because the little meal and the little oil are a big, big deal to God. The world's falling apart and God's like, whatever. But when God sees a little meal and a little oil going out, God's like, nah, that was good. Now I can do something with that. It's them 5 loaves and 2 small fishes. That's what it is. So this woman here, she winds up getting a ton of help because she caught the eye of God. You notice in verse number 7, it says, after a while, the brook dried up. And then God tells Elijah, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there, because I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. How in the world did this woman wind up in the scriptures? How in the world did this woman get to be who she is? How in the world did God put this widow woman hooked up to the prophet Elijah of all people? Elijah. John the Baptist had the spirit of Elijah. Don't you know Bible prophecies? Don't you know who Elijah is? Holy smokes, man. And here's a little woman, a little nobody, who makes it into the Word of God because she caught the eye of God Almighty. How did she catch His eye? Because I don't know about you, I want to catch His eye. All right, me and 3 other people in this room want to catch His eye. Do you understand what I'm saying? I would really like God to go, well, did you see my boy? Proud of you, boy. That's how he talks. I'm a man. Maybe you are. But when God looks at me, He says, hey, boy. And see, it's an affectionate thing. He's my father. And I'd really like to catch His eye. I'd like to make Him proud. How'd she do it? Well, first of all, she passed the test of after a while. Did you get that? She passed the test in verse number 7 of after a while. Most people don't stick around long enough and do right long enough for after a while to come and pass, because God always gives people time to prove themselves. Just keep reading your Bible, you'll see it. Joseph, David, Daniel, Elijah, Elisha, Joshua, Moses. Do I need to keep going? God always gives them time to do right and do all the little things the right way because they're the right things to do. And after a while, God's like, all right. Paul said He counted me faithful, putting me in the ministry, right? What was she doing after a while? So he arose, verse 10, and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. What was she doing? Little things. She was just gathering sticks. Now, who in this room doesn't know how to turn on the stove? Some of you kids need to say, we don't. But you adults that are responsible for taking care of somebody or have been responsible for taking care of children, you know how to turn on the stove and make a meal, right? Right? What are you getting at, preacher? That's all she was doing. A little thing. She was just taking care of the boy that God had given her, and she was just being faithful, and she's out working hard and just doing what she's supposed to do, like tomorrow morning going back to work because you're a Christian and it's the right thing to do. She was providing for her own. She's taking care of her own house. Boy, nowadays the brethren seem to be more obsessed with everybody else's children than their own children. If you and I got a little bit more obsessed with our own kids and our own marriage and our own house and whether or not we're a good enough parent and whether or not our children, Junior over there needs a little more attention and I'm going to give it to him. See my eyebrows? That's the kind of attention I'm talking about. Or you know what? She's getting older really fast, and I really don't know the last time we actually sat down and had a conversation. Like, kids don't know it, but they spell love, T-I-M-E. I'm just talking about the little things. I'm just talking about taking care of what God gave you to take care of. Too many of the brethren all want to talk about everybody else, but they couldn't even explain to you their own children. Hey, what about that one? Does she have some emotional issues? Oh, she's just like that. She's just like that? Or are you her mother? You seem to know how to talk about everybody else's kid. Let's talk about yours. You see what I mean about the little things? I'm not trying to offend you. I want to help you. I want to help your family. I want you to catch God's eye. And if your eyes are on everybody else's life and not on your own and not on him, you ain't going to catch his eye. She's out here doing the right thing and the little things they were. And she's taking care of hers. And when God Almighty shows up, she obeys his command. What was his command? For the sake of time, we'll just spin through it. I'm going to let you go in the next couple of minutes. But his command was, hey, God says, make me a little cake and take that cruise oil, make me some cake, and then I'm going to eat. And then you're going to eat. Excuse me? Look, man, if we're in a famine and I got my last little bit of chicken leg quarters in the deep freeze in the garage because they were saying meat was going to be gone, and you show up at my house, yeah, what do you want? Would you answer like that? Depends on my mood. Go get your chicken and cook it. God told me to tell you that. There's just enough here for each of my girls to get 2 ounces. And you think I'm giving you chicken? You got about 2 seconds to get off my porch. God told me to tell you. You about to see him. That preacher came in there and said, hey, cook for me. Do you see what kind of character this woman had? Because she was willing to lay down what she loved the most to obey the command of God. And when God's man came and said, God told me to tell you this, she said, okay, I'll take the last little bit I have and I'll give it to the work of the ministry. And sure hope it works out good. The little things matter. You want to make it through trying times? You want to make it through wickedness in your nation? You better obey the command of God. And she did. And so, as we find so often through our Bible, for her, it turns from bad to worse, because after she obeys the command of God, her son dies. You saw the story. And not even the preacher made any sense of it. In verse 18, in verse 19... he says, give me thy son. He goes and lays down on the bed, stretches him out 3 times, himself out 3 times on the kid. In verse 20, he's crying out to the Lord, God, what are you doing to this woman? The preacher doesn't even have the answer. In bad times, listen to me. Please, I want you to get a hold of this. In bad times, so often, before things get better, they get worse. When it rains, it... Why does everybody say that? Because it's true. You've experienced it. I've experienced it. The Bible gives us illustrations all over of it. And yet, for some reason, Christians, when it goes from bad to worse, they start, like we talked about this morning, accusing Jesus. What's God doing to me? Why? That's how it is in a sinful world. This woman's a great woman. She's doing the right things. She follows the Lord, does what he says, and then God blesses. He gives a little bit of light, a little bit of excitement in the middle of all the pain. Whoa, I made the last cake. I went back to check the barrel, and there was like just enough in the bottom of the barrel for another meal. So I scraped it all up. There's the oil. I got out that good olive oil. So good for you. I got out that good olive oil. I even give it to my dogs. It's good for you. And then I made my last cake, and I went back to the barrel. My word, God is so good. Praise the Lord. Ain't that a blessing? And then she hears a boom behind her and she turns around and her son fell out of the chair and hit the floor. She runs over there and she's checking a pulse and she doesn't have one. And she's right on the verge now of losing her mind. She's panicking. She's shaking. She can't hardly put words together or communicate a clear thought. If you don't know the feeling I'm talking about, you need to go home and thank God for living a blessed life. Because a lot of people deal with this kind of thing. And if you've dealt with it, you're not alone. God knows all about it, and so did this widow woman. So she goes and she gets the preacher, and what she does in verse number 18 blows my mind. She shows her humility before God. She says, "What have I to do with thee, thou man of God? Art thou come to call my sin to remembrance and to slay my son?" You know what she did when that happened to her boy? She didn't blame God. She blamed herself. She said, "You know what this is? This is a result of my mess ups. This is a result of my stupidity. This is a result of all that I've done. I'm a sinner! Preacher, what are you doing? Are you sent by God to bring the judgment I deserve?" No wonder this woman winds up being in the Word of God. Because her attitude to the Lord, in all the little things, she always shocks me at every move she makes. So God sends Elijah up there, and Elijah, he can't even hardly answer it. He lays down and stretches himself upon the boy three times and cries unto the Lord, and guess what the Lord does? The Lord takes the worst circumstance possible and turns it into something amazing. God revives her boy. And then she realizes who he is and that the word of the Lord in his mouth is truth and that it's so important. The amazing thing about this story is that there's so many big things happening in the world in which they're living, and yet what God seems to use is all the little things, like a raven, like a brook, like a simple message, like a widow woman who's just catching the eye of God by doing all the little things right and obeying the voice of God in all the little things, like making a cake and giving it to the preacher. And like in being humble when God Almighty seems to be breaking her heart, instead of being angry at God, she just says, "It's my fault. I sinned. God, I'm sorry." And all these little things are what makes her who she is. Elijah's willingness to obey God and do all the little things are what made Elijah who he was. You know what you and I ought to be doing right now in 2020 in the mess we're in? You can't control everything around you, but you know what you can do? You can do all the little things. How's your prayer life? How's your Bible reading? What's your ride to work like? What's playing on your stereo? What's going on in your mind? What's going on in your heart? Are you doing the little things the way God would have you to do them? If you are, the cruise oil ain't going to fail, and the meal ain't going to fail in the barrel. God's going to take care of you, no matter how bad it gets. I read this story a little while back on where Mother's Day came from. How many of you know the story behind that? Nobody. All right. Woman's name is Anna Jarvis, I believe, first suggested a day annually to honor all mothers because she loved her own mother so much. At a memorial service for her mother on May 10th, 1908, she gave a carnation, which was her mother's favorite flower, to each and every person who attended. Within the next few years, the idea had taken off and began to take root in numerous other large cities around the country. On May 9th, 1914, by an act of Congress, President Woodrow Wilson proclaimed the second Sunday in May as a time for public expression of our love and reverence to the mothers of our country. Mother's Day. You know what the moral of the story is? It all started with a woman who gave a carnation to some people who showed up to support her when her mother died. You have no idea what God can do with the little things. If you'll just do the little things for God the right way. Let's bow our heads. We'll be dismissed for a word of prayer.